The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in Luke, the 17th chapter. Now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, I think we're all in need of some Thanksgiving. Just take a look around. There's plenty to be worried about, right? This week, the gridlock Congress and a shutdown government, the possibility of defaulting on U.S. debts that could throw the world into a financial crisis, the whole world. The strife in Syria, other parts of the world, you know, the stuff going on in our own families that concerns us, and we haven't even talked about the Texans yet, you know. But look at all that, you wonder why I'd say we need to be in a time of Thanksgiving. You know, because you'd say, well, wouldn't lament be more appropriate if you want to do a psalm or something, or a cry for justice, or at least a call to action, and all that would be appropriate. And maybe you've done some of those this week. But what's been on my mind later this week has been in this gospel reading. I think we've been called to recall that all our responses to the events surrounding us, whether we'd call them blessing or curse, the most powerful and most often overlooked response is that of thanksgiving. Now, it'd be easier, if I could just say, you know, we have so many things to be thankful for in this life, so many obvious blessings, and we should just focus on those, and we should. Like St. Paul says in Philippians, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's noble, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things. And I could invite you right now to shout out things from this past week that you're thankful for. I bet you could come up with a lot of them. If you had time to think about it, I bet you'd have quite a list. I've had time to think about it because I was getting ready here. And my gratitude list starts with a belated birthday card I got from my Aunt Dora up in Wisconsin. And she shared memories of my childhood in this letter. It was pretty sweet. And then she reminded me that I'm her favorite nephew. Aw, you know. And then my dad sent me the rededication bulletin for my home church, Grace Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, and it had nearly been hijacked by people who wanted to take it out of the ELCA and had violated the rules of the congregation, and they have gotten it back by court of law, sadly. But the good news is the leadership of Grace Lutheran Church is now a graceful leadership again, and I am so grateful for that. And I could go on about the success of the Gebert Golf Tournament. Awesome, isn't that some? Oh, that's great. And then we can rejoice over the 50-some new members that we're receiving today into the life of our congregation who are joining us in our ministry. You know, or I could easily just think back to yesterday's beautifully simple wedding with two of those people who are becoming members today. Now it's Peter and Heidi Hawkinson. There they are sitting over there. Let's give them a hand. Can't believe they came to church this morning, but there they are. And Peter's parents from Sweden are here. So good to have them here. Just focusing on the good things in our life can cause a shift for us in our energy. Did you know that? Our energy level. St. Paul said it would, and the law of attraction, if you've done any reading about that, says the same thing. You don't even have to be religious to know that focusing on positive things increases your vibrational frequency in your body. There's more positive energy the more we focus on the good stuff. Certainly the 10 lepers who were cleansed by Jesus that day had reason for thanksgiving. Now, only one of them a Samaritan, an outsider, we're told by the writer of Luke, did actually show how thankful he was. Presumably the rest, we think all the rest were Jews, assumed it was their right to be healed. God owed it to them for all the misery they'd been through, maybe, huh? Or perhaps they were just preoccupied with their re-entry into society. You know, some of the worries. Would the priest really believe they were cleansed and give them a pass back into society? Would their husbands or wives even want them back? Would there be any jobs waiting for them? If not, what would they put on their resumes about all these years without a job? You know? How'd they handle people's stares with the ongoing disfiguration of their faces that was just a part of this disease now that they were healed? So much of the time, you know, we can get so caught up in our own agendas, and it's understandable. But then we may not be able to look up and give praise and recognize who it is who has blessed us, given us healing and good things in life. Now, that's challenging enough for us, and many people never get that far in seeing, just hear that verb, seeing, that they have been seen by God in their distress. And then be able to see who it was who brought this goodness into their lives. Well, that's what caught me in this story. Jesus saw them, the invisible ones of society, so to speak, the ones we'd rather not see. He saw them, saw those miserable wretches, you know. He didn't just pass by. And then the returning Samaritan leper saw Jesus back, saw that Jesus was the agent of God in their healing. In fact, he returned, and in Luke this happens a lot, returned praising God, like the shepherds at Jesus' birth, glorifying and praising God. Bow down before Jesus, he did, just like the shepherds did, remember? At the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, and in seeing his salvation, this Samaritan leper begins to get to see the unfolding of God's graceful intention to redeem and restore all of broken humanity. Maybe I'm stretching that a little bit. Maybe he didn't get all that. But those in passages like this invite us to imagine. Imagine what's possible when we let God take over and reign and rule in our lives, right? But evidently, according to this passage, it's hard enough for us to recognize the obvious blessings and recognize their source in the grace of God. How much more challenging for us to give thanks in all circumstances. I want you to, if you can, turn in your pew Bibles, they're underneath your seats, these black Bibles, or on your iPhones, if you've got a Bible app, to page 961 in these things. 961. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's verses 16 to 18. Page 961, 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's on the upper right-hand side of 961 there. It starts with 16, and why don't you just say it with me? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now rejoice when? And pray when, where? Give thanks? In all circumstances. All right. All right. Now, just hold that for a second. Because Joel, you're back there. I'm going to share your story. He's shared it so many times about one of your patients, the young man, remember? And this is a very powerful story for Joel, and I'd love to have him share it himself sometime, but this is in short. He tells it so much better. He had a young man who he had to go to tell that he was dying. He would not live. And this young boy, after the shock of hearing the news, said to Joel, "Oh, at a time like this, it's such a good thing to be a Christian." Is that about right? It's such a good thing to be a Christian at a time like this. There you go. Thanking God in all circumstances. As Christians, we are called as those who can see what God is doing or that God is doing something, even if we can't see it, and to give thanks for it. I think of St. Paul. You know, he was standing up to his knees in sewage some of the time in that prison cell of his underneath the city of Rome when he wrote these words that you're seeing here in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Up to his knees in sewage and telling us to be thankful. That's what real seeing is about, see? When we can't see how God is at work in various situations, but we trust and act as if God is at work nonetheless for good, see? He's working for good. And there's a liberation theologian, Segundo, who once said, God is at work on all people in all creation, whether they recognize it or not. But Christians are the one who know that they know. They know that they know what God is up to. They've received not only redemption and healing, but they've also received revelation as well. To recognize that God, born into this world in Jesus Christ, is at work setting all creation free from bondage to decay, right? So we can all obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God, regardless of our circumstances. And, you know, I've said this before, but maybe you've heard it. It's amazing to be able to hear alcoholics who can say, I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic because I would have never grown like I've grown in my life because of it. So this week, as we watch the government do whatever it's going to do, as we see situations around the world of human discord and in our own lives and families, I invite you to give thanks for what God is doing, even when you can't understand it yet. And to know that it all fits into God's plan to liberate all of life and all of creation, and that He's going to do it. And give thanks.